The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Companies to watch.
Money FM 89.3, good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It's time now for Companies to Watch, and we put the spotlight on this company that's owned by a man who felt that reaching for the skies wasn't enough. He decided to go up into space. Yes, I'm talking about Amazon's Jeff Bezos. His journey happened about a week after another wealthy businessman, Richard Branson, went up into space, and all of this potentially opens a door to space tourism. So let's talk about the Amazon founder. He spent about 10 minutes or so in space in this reusable rocket built by his firm Blue Origin as part of a four-member crew. It's a small step toward his stated goal of building floating space colonies. Now, he founded Blue Origin back in the year 2000, and he's poured in billions of dollars into the venture. With a fortune worth more than $200 billion, Bezos has been at or near the top of the world's richest people. Let's talk about the occasion and really, what does this space trip mean for the future of space technology? Hey, maybe even here in Singapore, it could mean something for us. On the line with me this morning is Lynette Tan, Chief Executive, Singapore Space and Technology Limited. Lynette, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
What an amazing thing, right? Going up into space and then coming down saying that, okay, this is going to pave the way for the future. We might see something like the movies where you have, I don't know, space colonies on the moon, for example. What was your reaction to the entire thing?
Well, there was a lot of excitement, you know, and unfortunately, being in the space sector, I think we have had the amazing role of seeing so many wonderful things happen. You know, we've had moon landings, we've had sending the probes to Mars, we've got landing on, you know, the far side of the moon. And I think there's a lot of technology innovation. It has been amazing in the last week with these two gentlemen. Has been the commercialization of the space technology, because it has always been dominated by governments, by very, very large conglomerates. And now we're seeing how the barrier of entry has been lowered. Mm. You have new players like Blue Origin, you know, and SSTL, who've entered the market, you know, adopting space technologies and commercializing it so that you don't have to have so many years of training. You don't have to be like going for an exclusive astronaut selection program. And what they're trying to bring about is a change in that perhaps, you know, the regular guy on the street could go into space. And I think that's the amazing part about what they've done in the last week.
It all starts here, doesn't it? But Lynette, I mean, you talked about the commercializing of the space industry. If we're going to use those terms then, is there a value you can put to the space industry or the space sector or space tech, for example?
Sure. Globally, the space economy is worth over $400 billion.
Wow.
And it's weathering the current crisis well. In fact, a private investment, a space investment, okay, not necessarily private, but, you know, in 2020, and we know we were hit by this global pandemic, it had a new record of $26 billion worth of investment. And it's the third highest in the decade. So we are seeing commercial money, you know, a lot of investment money going in to the industry, advancing and accelerating the commercialization of it.
And, you know, every company is trying to put money into saving the environment. And this opens a whole new avenue, right? Because Jeff Bezos talked about how he sees a future where humans can move polluting industries to space. It sounds a little complicated, but I feel like we've seen this in the movies. Is it possible in decades?
I'm really happy you raised this. You know, I'm also curious what he meant by that. Personally, I do challenge what I'm hearing.
Okay.
I wonder if it could have been taken out of context, because saying things such as, okay, we're moving the polluting industry to space, it's a very NIMBY philosophy, right? It's a not in my backyard philosophy. I mean, one thing we learn in engineering school is the conservation of mass, right? So, you know, the pollutants and the pollution go somewhere else. And I think with enough data points, you know, it always comes back. So I'm not sure what exactly he meant by that. And I think following the basics, right, that we're familiar with, reducing, reusing, recycling, you know, use less, conserve more is important. But certainly, I think where he could be alluding to, and many space entrepreneurs and space technologies look at, is certainly in leveraging space technologies to find creative solutions for us here on Earth. Mm. And exactly like what you said, tackling sustainable development goals in conservation. So SSTR, we run an accelerator program in Asia Pacific for space technologies. We've got 30 other companies, and we looked at how they could contribute positively to the environment. You know, and this portfolio of companies we have has a combined value of over US $700 million. I think certainly space technologies, that there is a lot of value in the spin-off, you know, to find new ways of doing things in a very environmentally friendly way. So you have solar panels, right, which is a space technology spin-off. The LED lights that we use now on Earth, a lot of times in indoor farming, was a space technology invention. It took 20 years for that to be spun out into our indoor farms. There's a lot of recycling. Even recently, right, Tide and NASA had a collaboration to wash astronaut suits when they go into the mission in Mars. And then in that spin-off, we are looking at how detergents can use less water to clean up Tokyo on Earth.
Okay.
Exactly. I think these are just amazing space technology developments to make the environment, to conserve our environment and the blue planet. And I think that's where we want to focus a lot more on.
So don't look at it too literally. There are many ways that space technology can help other than bringing everything up into space. But I suppose on face value, we do hope we get to see this happen in our lifetime, you know, transferring the polluting industry to space in that sense. Lynette, I'm curious about, and I want to come back to value again. Jeff Bezos is saying that the company is approaching $100 million in private sales. He's saying very, very high demand to go into space. Basically, I want to talk about the price to travel to space. I know it's still very early days, but he's not saying how many people have bought tickets. I mean, it could be $100 million. Maybe 100 people bought it, or 10 people bought it at $10 million apiece. The price of going to space could go out of hand for a while before it stabilizes. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, there's always a very high demand in human exploration. Here, you know, in SSTL, right, we do training for all ages. And what really fascinates a lot of our participants and trainees from 9 years old to 49 years old is they're always curious what's that next big thing out there.
Okay.
And even looking back into history, right, we've always wanted to travel. We invented ships. We invented planes. We have cars to get us to places faster. So humans, fundamentally, we are explorers. We have an adventurous streak in us.
Okay.
And now that we've done the ships and the planes and the cars, it's natural we want to travel out of this world and create colonies and infrastructure in space. It's a lot of new experiences. It's wired into us. So I'm not surprised when he said that he's got a lot of demand in private sales for it, because you can't use public funds for such exciting stuff, right?
Yeah, so, and hence it's the tech billionaires that are behind this.
So, and there's also that kind of training that goes behind it. So I won't challenge him and say he has that kind of $100 million in private sales. And I do know there are many wealthy people who are interested in something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's innate in a lot of us who want to travel.
I want to understand a bit about mindset. I mean, for someone who works in the space industry or space economy, so to speak, what is the mindset within this industry when it comes to ensuring that space becomes accessible to everyone and not just the rich?
I think that's a very important question. You know, again, I'm really happy to ask very, very thoughtful questions. I think there is a underlying understanding amongst people in the space industry to, you know, the commercialization, the consumerization, making it accessible and democratizing it. Of course, sometimes when things are just getting started, it's the few that gets to go it. You know, even people like Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson, right? In the past, you need to be in a in an astronaut training program, right? It's even cut out and shut out to them. So I think we have to take it step by step. Anything to do with human space flight, anything to do with human lives, there's a lot of developments and concern and considerations. So they've opted in. They've chosen to do this. But when you make it accessible, then there's a whole complexity about then who owns the liability. You know, does the company who make the rocket own the liability? The guy who signs up own the liability? Is it out of necessity? You know, if we are really building colonies now in space and it's part of a job? There's that whole commercial complexity behind it. But I think no one is trying to shut out people unfairly. It's not something that we envision and want to be exclusive only to the have. And that's not what I think we are about.
Very quickly, because we're kind of out of time, Lynette, what does this mean for Singapore where space travel is a concern? Is there something being done to ensure that we can get there one day?
Well, FCL, we are an independent, a private organization. We are always on a good lookout for ideas, exciting missions, and then planning backwards, right, and how we can make these dreams turn into reality. We've got industry programs. We've got accelerator programs. We've got space adoption program. You know, we've seen very crazy, very interesting things. We also have the International Space Challenge, which is closing on the 6th of August. So I think young students, youth, any from the age of 13 to 25, we want to encourage them to take part in it because this could be their first step into the exciting space program. And we make it very palatable and easy to access. So that's one of the things we do to encourage young minds to take that bold step to maybe even do a space travel. Who knows, right? We could have just trained our next Singaporean space traveler through the Space Challenge program. it would be. You'll be talking to him or her.
Yeah, who knows?
In 10 years' time.
All right, I've been speaking with Lynette Tan, Chief Executive, Singapore Space and Technology Limited. Lynette, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Take care. Bye.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.